From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Black Americans land in prison at six times the rate of white Americans. That's according to a new study from the Sentencing Project, which advocates for prison reform. The disproportionate jail rates are nothing new, but where prisoners live may surprise you. For more, we've got Ryan King, co-author of the Sentencing Project report, and Karen Garrison. She has twin sons currently in the prison system. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Ryan, we have heard a lot about disparities. What's new here?
Well, unfortunately, what this report shows is it's more of the same, and it's a continuation of a trend that's been going on for decades. And that is that when we talk about rates of incarceration, when we see who is in the American prison system, these are predominantly African-American, predominantly young African-American males. And in this particular case, we also see that in a number of states, there's quite a significant differential in the use. So we've had some states where the African-American rate of incarceration is in the neighborhood of 14 times that of whites, and these disparities within state borders we think are quite alarming.
Where's the epicenter of the disparity?
Well, it varies a little bit, but what we found is quite interesting from this report was that we actually saw high rates of racial disparity in the northeastern states and in some of the Midwest states. I think this is particularly important because in some of the northeastern states, frequently the issue of race is not spoken about in the same way that it is maybe in the South. The historical legacy is different. In a lot of these states, there's probably a thought that racism in the criminal justice system is less of a concern. And so when we see these very, very disparate rates of incarceration in states like New Jersey and Connecticut, I think that would be quite surprising to residents of those states. And it's important that this report can get a conversation going there. That is our hope.
Karen, take us inside your family. You've got twin sons, 10 years into sentences. They were in college at the time. What went down?
Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, they came and arrested him and charged him with one count cocaine conspiracy. Upon arrest, there were no guns, no drugs. They had like $14 between them. They went to trial. They were arrested in April. They graduated from Howard University in May. They went to trial in June. They were scheduled for sentencing in September. And my family was able to afford one paid attorney. So it rescheduled their sentencing to October. And in October, they were given 15 and a half for Lawrence and 19 and a half for Lamont. They had court appointed attorneys that did very little for them. So after getting sentenced, we did have one attorney that did a little work on it. Lawrence Lamont now, Lamont's in Manchester and Lawrence is in Elkton, Ohio.
Do you think the sentences are fair? If not, just make your case here. Why do you think they're not fair?
Well, I think for a first-time nonviolent offender, they should have a second chance. The first time anybody can make a mistake. It doesn't matter. When I tell people that my sons are in prison, they never ask, are they innocent or guilty? They say, why'd they get so much time? I think that everybody's allowed a second chance. I don't believe that the first time you make a mistake and it didn't physically harm anyone, I think they should be allowed a probation or something like that, you know, for an alternative.
It sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you think that they were dealing drugs.
No, my sons were not dealing drugs, and I'm quite honest about that, and I'm quite sure about that. I had an investigator that we hired when we hired the lawyer for one of my sons. He investigated even up to two years after the case was over to see if he could even find someone that would admit that they sold drugs or used drugs or anything. My sons are totally innocent.
Let me go back to Ryan. Ryan, there are many contested cases that really catch the heart of the African-American community. How do you distinguish between things that are complete miscarriages of justice and things that are poorly sentenced? Is there a difference?
There's absolutely a difference, and I think where the nexus of this is the issue of mandatory minimum sentencing and the way that it's used in pretrial negotiations. So let me sort of flesh that out a bit. When you have a case where maybe there is questionable evidence, where there's questions of innocence, where there's questions of conduct of law enforcement during an arrest, traditionally these are situations that would need to be litigated in a court of law. But what happens is an individual will sit down before a trial with a prosecutor and have an opportunity to take a plea deal in a number of cases. About 95% of cases that go through court end up in a plea bargain. And so what the prosecutor is going to sit down and say, listen, you're facing 15, 20, 30-year mandatory minimum based upon this particular conduct, and you can either take a plea deal now to a lesser charge, or you're going to go to trial and probably get these mandatory minimums. For a defendant who may be relying on a public provision of counsel that doesn't have the amount of time and resources to be able to provide and investigate this, it's a really difficult gamble to take. And so many individuals will just decide, well, you know what, I'm just going to take the plea and I'm going to take some time in jail. And a lot of unanswered legal questions exist. And this is a result of these mandatory sentencing.
Ryan, let me turn back to Karen. Just briefly, do you have any sense of how prison has changed your sons, their aspirations, their future?
Well, I think that it would really, I look at them, they're aging in prison and they're, I want to say they're getting tough. They're growing up in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, prison's not a good place. No one can convince me it's a good place. You know, and I look at them every day and that how they age and how they fight to not be prison life. I send them all kind of magazines. I send them everything I can to keep them, you know, I want to call streetwise to what's going on. But, it takes a toll on them and it takes a toll on the family.
Absolutely. Well, Karen and Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ryan King co-authored the new nationwide study from the Sentencing Project, and Karen Garrison is the mother of twins, both of whom are doing time in prison, and they joined me from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.